Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the What's Your Bottom Line radio show with speaker, writer, and motivator, Angie Strader. Join Angie and expert guests from around the world for these weekly straightforward discussions about what it takes to be successful in your personal and professional life. We all have a bottom line. What's yours? Well, let's get down to it right now. Here's your host, Angie Strader.
Welcome to the What's Your Bottom Line radio show. This is Angie Strader, your host of What's Your Bottom Line. We're not talking finances, I promise. We are talking about getting to your bottom line of what it takes to be successful in your personal and professional life. And every week I get to interview guests from around the world about what it is they have done specifically to help them achieve their level of success. And I get to tap into their bottom line. We're talking core values. We are talking those little tips and secrets that we all need to learn and hear and practice, put it into action. Okay, so thank you for joining the show today. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that since we are a live show, we are able to take your questions live on the air. So you can do that two ways. You can either type into the chat box. If you are online right now, you can see the chat. It is open. You can type in there. You can put your question right in there. I'll be monitoring that. And throughout our conversation today with our special guests, plural, I will be able to bring those questions to our guests and ask those then. Or if you would like to call in and you would like to ask your question live on the air, dial 347-838-9706. That's 347-838-9706. That'll get you right into the phone line where you can listen. And if you'd like to ask a question, just push 1 on your keypad, and that'll let me know that you do have a question to ask on the air. We look forward to talking with you. We'd love to see your chats. And we're going to get started right now. So almost every week, I have an expert guest who I have on the show, and I have selected these expert guests because I believe they really can add value, and they get that bottom line philosophy. They can really get to that bottom line of what it takes to be successful in their specific area, their expert area, their expertise. And so today's special guest, expert guest, is my personal friend and my social media strategist mentor, Lisa Duty, and that's Lisa with two S's, Lisa Duty. She'll give all of her contact information when we get ready to wrap up her segment, but she is going to share with us some fabulous information about social media and what we can do to be more effective in that whole weird world of social media. And, you know, it's not always just about getting on there and posting, going out for a walk, drinking lemonade, going to take a nap. Now, I think there's more to it, and Lisa really knows how to effectively utilize social media. She's done it to grow her business, and by doing that, she's really been able to help others as well. So we're going to bring Lisa on here in just a second. And a few other housekeeping things I wanted to go over real quick. Since we are kind of going into the fall and some few things are on my calendar, I am taking my show to twice a month, so every other week. We were a weekly show, and we will resume to being a weekly show probably starting after the new year, but right now we are every other week, so you can expect today, of course, is our show, which is August 31st. Can you believe? Tomorrow is September. I cannot believe tomorrow is September. But it is. Tomorrow is September, so I will be back again on September 14th, then September 28th. So every other week. But if you want to stay up with my shows, when I'm on the air, when What's Your Bottom Line is on the air, really encourage you to go to my website at Angie Strader, angieesperadder.com, angieesperadder.com. Sign up for my media newsletter. That newsletter will, and I don't spam you, I promise, I will only send out show updates. So you would expect to get an update every other week at this point to let you know who my special guests are, my weekly expert guests, and everything that's going on for that particular day, that particular show. Okay, so go to angiestrader.com to sign up for the newsletter, and that'll keep you in the loop. And let's see, some other things. Make sure you go to Friend Me on Facebook, if we're not friends here, that there yet. Very simple, Facebook. Search Angie Strader, and I also have Angie Strader, Inc. as my fan page. Would love for you to join me there as well. Okay, so I am not going to tie up any more time because I know Lisa has great things to share with us. And, you know, Lisa's one of those people that she has taken her passion and she's turned it into a thriving business. And her specialty is a social media virtual assistant. I use the word VA a lot, so I would say she's a social media strategist and social media VA. And a lot of people say, what is a VA? Well, a VA is a virtual assistant. And I do want to give Lisa a minute today to talk about what it is to be a virtual assistant and how that really works, because though some of us are really in tune to what that is and maybe even have one or two virtual assistants ourselves, some of us may be thinking, how can I leverage my time better? And I think Lisa can explain that to us. Well, Lisa, are you there?
I'm here, Angie. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate you being on the show, and I always learn so much when you are on the show. Just so I remind everyone, hey, if you're going to take the most from what Lisa has to share, get a pen and paper, because you want to write down what she has to say. Start putting some of these things into practice. So, Lisa, what are you going to share with us today?
Well, I wanted to talk with everybody about Facebook lists. And I know that might be Greek to everybody. So let me say, basically, what a Facebook list is a group. You can assign all of your friends on Facebook to list, which is, you know, for terminology's sake, basically a group. And then you can post your status updates, customize your privacy settings, all of these things based on your list. And I love lists, and I'm sure, Angie, you've probably heard, I think I've talked to you about lists before, actually.
Yes, you have, and I appreciate all of your advice that you've given me on lists. It's helpful.
It's so essential. And actually, how my inspiration for this talk call today came about is Dot Jenna on Twitter had asked me, would I write a blog post about Facebook lists? And so I was like, well, you bet I'll do it. I love Facebook lists. So I decided today what I would do was talk about some of the things that everybody can do using a Facebook list. So I'm going to give them a couple of whys, and then I'm going to give them some hows, actually how they would go in and start to set up a list. And I've actually wrote a comprehensive blog post on this that will have some in-depth directions and some screenshots and that type of thing that they will be able to get access to after our conversation.
Okay. And, Lisa, would we find that you're going to give us where they can find that blog at the end?
Yes. Well, what it's going to be is actually I wrote the blog post for Dot Jenna's website, and so I'm going to have an excerpt of it on my blog, lisaduty.com/blog, and then there'll be a link so that they can go to her blog to read the entire post.
Perfect. Okay, perfect.
Which that won't be live until Friday, and I'm sorry about that.
No,
but I got my inspiration at the last minute.
I love it. You know how I always do my topic of the week or my topic for the show? It's my own little, like, my soapbox session that I do. That's always whatever's that thing that pops into my head that's the that's been on my brain. So this makes sense. This is what you're talking about. And I love this because I need more help in this area. So let us have it.
Okay, let's go. Well, what I want to start with is a few whys, okay? Now, whenever you're on Facebook, Angie, you can actually post a status update to a particular list that you have assigned in Facebook. And that way you're not throwing that out to everybody. Maybe you're not wanting to torture your family or your personal friends with something to do with business. And so you can actually target those updates. That's the number one thing that I love lists for. The second thing I love about lists is when you're using lists, you can actually customize your privacy settings so that you can exclude certain lists from seeing, for example, your email address or maybe your date of birth. And so that's just really the second thing why I love it. One thing I really like also is whenever you do have all your friends assigned to list, you can actually go in and say that you're on Facebook. I know I teach people when I'm teaching social media, I say, okay, you know, the way to control your time when you're on Facebook is, okay, I'm going to get on Facebook for 15 minutes and I'm going to do business. Okay? And so when you have your contacts assigned to list, your friends, then you can click on that particular list and see the status updates for just that list. So now, you're on Facebook, but this is your personal time. This is your family time. This is for your fun. You would just click on the list that says family and see those status updates.
Mm.
So that is a major I love feature. I love that. And another thing I like is you can actually customize your photo album privacy settings based on a list. So, you know, like, for example, I have my daughter's pictures on Facebook, but I don't necessarily want everybody to be able to see my daughter's pictures. So maybe I just want my family to see them, or my family and the list I have assigned that's close friends to see them. I can actually limit who gets to see those albums. And one thing, Angie, I don't know if you even knew this one or not. You can actually send an email through Facebook to a particular list.
I did not know that. See? Okay, you've got me. I'm ready. I'm ready to do all these things.
I knew that, and there's one other thing. One more thing that I've done my research on lists, and I really love them. You can actually, you know, when you create your events in Facebook, you can also target those to lists. So
it's not an all or nothing. I think that, you know, when
exactly.
That's nice, and it's this little tweaks, these little things here that just make a big difference on utilizing it effectively. And like you said, you're not blasting everyone, because trust me, my distant cousins could really care less what I'm up to in business. So you are so right. Okay, so these are the whys. I love it. Now,
These are the whys. And actually, these are all on the blog post, too. So in case, you know, everybody didn't get to write all of those down, they'll actually be able to refer to the blog post and read what the whys are, because I want everybody to be encouraged and inspired about why they need to use a list. And I actually wrote in the blog post that I wrote, you know, don't these all sound like great reasons to you? Are you saying yes, yes, yes to every one of these? And the reason I say that is because when I start talking with people about Facebook, you know, people are so concerned about their privacy and what they're sharing. And, oh, I don't want to pollute everybody, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. And then I start talking to them about Facebook, and they're just like, oh, my gosh, I had no idea that these things could happen. Mm-hmm. And so I just really, I love that. Now, the how as far as how to do this, and I'm going to be short on this, but this is also in the blog post that I've written.
I'm going to tell you real quick, Lisa.
Yes,
ma'am. You have a little bit more time today that you can go a little bit more in depth if you want, because I'm hearing from our other scheduled guest that she's not going to be able to make it today. So, and if she does make it, it won't be towards the end. Something came up. So if you have time, you can definitely take your time on it, because this is valuable information. And for those that are just tuning in, I just wanted to let you know, if you saw the updates on the show today, was going to be with Carolyn North Kelly. We were going to talk about anger management and why people abuse and how to avoid it. We're going to postpone that show unless I hear something different during the show. Right now, joining us is my friend and my social media strategist, Lisa Duty, and she's my expert guest. Once a month she comes on the show. This was her regular monthly scheduled expert session. So, Lisa, you can have at it, and then we'll see where it takes us, okay?
Wonderful, wonderful, Angie. So let's talk about how to set up a list, okay? So what they're going to do is everybody's going to actually log into their Facebook account, okay? And, you know, and then they're going to click on the right-hand side where it says account. And these are some actual directions, and these are all in the blog post. And then they're going to edit their friends, okay? So on the right-hand side, they've clicked on account. Then they clicked on edit friends. And then they're going to come into a screen, and it's actually going to have pictures of all of their Facebook friends. And at the very top, it's going to say, it's going to say create a new list. And they can click right there, and then they're going to type in the name of their list. And when they do this, they're going to have this box that's popped up, and it's going to have all their friends' pictures in this box. And so they can just actually select all the friends that they want to assign to whatever this particular list is, and then they click Create List. Now, doesn't that sound simple? Angie?
I'm here, Lisa. I'm here.
Okay.
I put you on mute for a second because I was typing. I didn't want you to hear me because I'm following what you're saying, and I didn't want you to be like, click, click.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. My phone, my cell phone battery is beeping that it is going low, so I'm thinking I'm going to have to actually connect on my other call, call right back if we're going to talk a little longer today.
Okay.
And
well,
that's
fine.
So we'll do that in just a few minutes.
Yep, I'm right with you. So
okay. I'm sorry about that. I didn't plan for an hour, and so my battery just beeped on me.
And you're
okay, so let's get back to list. So now they've clicked Create New List, and they've made their first list. There's not a limit on how many lists you can have in Facebook. So, you know, in my recommendation, for example, the names of my list, and people like to laugh at me about this, is I have one called Family. Then I have one called Other Friends, and people are like, Other Friends? And those are my friends from high school. I mean, because not all of them I'm connected with all the time, so I don't really know how to categorize them. So I've just stuck them in this list called Other Friends. And then I have, of course, my professional list, and then I have a list of my close friends because I might have some really private news that I want to share with just those close 10 or whatever. And so I have my list for close friends. So now I've created my list, okay, and then say that I've decided now, okay, I've created my list. I want to go in, and I want to make this status update go to just particular list. Okay, so now I've created my list, and I went into my status update box on Facebook, which I can either do from my newsfeed tab or from my profile, and I've clicked in that box, and I've typed whatever my message is, and maybe this is a personal message that I'm typing to just my family. And so I'm saying, hey, guys, I'm really excited. Tomorrow is my official 1 year in business. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to click on, there's a little padlock image. Now, with that being said, I want to say real fast, until you've actually created a list and you have lists, you will not see the little padlock image.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be there for them, okay? So they're going to have a little padlock image, and they're going to click on that. And when they click on that little padlock, it's going to say, like, everyone, customize, you know, those type of things. And they're going to actually want to click on the customize option.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two options underneath that. There's another box that's going to pop up, and it's going to say make this visible to. And then there's a drop-down, and they can select who they want to make it visible to. And they can say specific. And so then they would select specific people. And right there is where they would type in the name of the list that they want to send it to. So in my case, I would say family. Okay, so now I've assigned it to my family. And then I just click save, and I hit share. And now that I've done that, the only people that saw that status update was my family. Nobody else assigned to that list can see that. And I'm not expecting everybody to write these instructions down on this call again, Angie. I actually have all of this in the blog post. I'm just wanting everybody to get a picture of the benefit of using this. So say, for example, Angie, you have your blog radio show coming up, mm-hmm. and you're only wanting to tell your business clients about your show that's coming up. You would just select that list, and then you would share it to just their wall tab. You know, you would just make that status update only visible to them. So you're saving the wall, you know, the updates from people that aren't going to be interested in the content.
And you know,
and
what?
I love that.
I love that too, because that's one of the original reasons why I set up my fan page, is so that I'd really directed those people over to that side, because I knew that there were people who were like tired of seeing, I'm really not interested in what you're doing on your radio show or your TV show or anything like that. So that, you know, I set that up, but I could really see how this is valuable, because then people just don't hide you. They don't get sick of you and just hide you or block you or whatever, unfriend you. You're really being responsible and sending out your messages. Hey, and Lisa, just to let you know that Carolyn did send me a message. She is calling in, so wanted to give you that. So she is joining us, and so you know that.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Will you just tell me when you're ready for me to cut off, and we'll let Carolyn come in. The next step that I want to tell everybody about, you know, is I mentioned that they can customize their privacy settings.
Mm-hmm.
And I really I really love this feature. And it's really simple to do. It's the same way, you know, similar to what I just talked about. They're going to click on account on the right-hand side, and then they're going to click on privacy settings. And then they would click that customize option. And they're still going to be able to do that accept, make visible to options to specify what areas of their profile they want to be visible. And so, for example, I want my birth date to only be visible to me because that's an important piece of information that people could use to help steal my identity. So I have my birth date set. I'm the only one that can see it. There's another area of my profile that has my email address. Well, I don't care if everybody says my business email address, so I have that so it's open to anybody, period, that goes to my profile. But if I wanted to make it so only particular people assigned to a list, then I would select the accept option, and I could say who I don't want to see it, like everybody except professional, if I wanted to hide my email address from professional. Mm-hmm. And so that's really one of the major pluses. I actually teach a class on Facebook, Angie, and it's a 3-hour class, and 1 hour of it is teaching everybody how to set their list up. And, of course, we set the list up. They're hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them how to set their list up and customizing their Facebook privacy settings based on the list that they've established because it's so important to have your privacy and, you know, yet be open on Facebook. And actually, I've had some personal things that have happened with me within the past 3 months that I actually made a new list. I'm not going to say the name of it because it's funny. It's a funny name. It's not a bad name, just a funny name.
I
assigned some of my soon-to-be ex-family from my marriage to it because I decided I didn't want them seeing my status updates on Facebook. So I assigned them to the list, and now I don't exist to them anymore. So that's one of the pluses.
Is that better, or should you unfriend them, or block them, or those other options?
Well, you can block. Let me explain my logic on that. I'm glad to share that. Now, the reason I assigned them to a list was because that I actually have a lot of my profile open to everyone, and so if I had unfriended them, then I would have to change it so my profile wasn't open anymore to everyone except for them. You know what I mean? And so I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to just unfriend them and then now they see everything I put on my wall.
Right.
So with them being on the list.
That makes sense.
Now, with that being said, I do want to mention that that they did go ahead and some of them went ahead and unfriended me. And so now they're not assigned to a list. So you have to be careful with that because that can be a two-edged sword there. They unfriended me. And so now if they had wanted to go to my wall, they could have saw everything. And so I did go ahead and go in and block them. You can do it two ways.
That is very valuable. And so I just want to recap real quick because we talked about the list and creating a list, which you basically are saying are like groups. And so you can send out status updates to just those specific lists that you set up. One of my lists, for instance, is called Dallas Peeps. They're my Dallas people, just the people in my local area that I know I want to keep up on local happenings and things that are going on. And so very valuable family, friends, distant relatives, people you don't like. You can have all those different groups. And then targeting updates and customizing your privacy settings. And so you can share only what you want to share. And staying up on that, right, Lisa, because the privacy settings and the way that works on Facebook changes rapidly.
They do. They're changing them all the time. It's really important. And that's one reason when I talk to people about privacy settings, I am very thorough so that they can go back in and check them on a regular basis or next time they see an email that now Facebook has changed it again. You know what I mean? Because it is important to really stay up on those. I actually think that did a couple people and backfired on them because they had set a list with a targeted status update, and then they posted their status update. But because Facebook had changed their privacy setting, that they didn't stay up on, the post was visible to everybody.
Okay.
So.
You have to stay current on these things if you're taking these steps. And I always say, too, don't put anything on Facebook. You don't want the whole world to know.
Definitely. Even if you have the customized privacy settings, still you want to be really, really, really selective on what you put on there. Definitely.
Absolutely. Well, Lisa, tell us where our listeners can find out more about you, where they can find your blog so they can get all of this information on Friday when it's posted, the link to Dot Jenna for her blog. And that's awesome that she asked you to do that because she picked the right expert for that. And any other bits of, like, where are we going to find you?
Well, they're going to find me at my website, which is lisaduty.com, and that's LISSADUTY.com. I welcome everybody to go to Twitter to connect with me. And, again, that's the same thing. I'm on Twitter. It's twitter.com/lisaduty, facebook.com/lisaduty, and then, of course, linkedin.com/lisaduty. And I love to connect with people and share information, so I encourage anybody to connect with me. If they have questions, ask me. I'm glad to do so. And I want to tell everybody once again real fast that they can go to my blog, which is lisaduty.com/blog, and the post will be out there on Friday going in-depth on how to use these Facebook lists with a continue to read link going over the Dot Jenna site. That way everybody doesn't have to try to just find it difficultly.
Well, and that makes sense. And right now you have a great post on there on your blog that talks about meeting Mari Smith and working with her. So I encourage everyone to check that out. Those who don't know Mari Smith, you've got to know her. You've got to connect with her. Wealth of information. And Lisa got the opportunity because of her fabulous social media expertise to work with her. So thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you for your extra time today and for offering up to be here full-time. If your phone doesn't die before I say goodbye, I will talk with you soon, and we'll talk with you for sure next month.
Thank you, Angie. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Take care. Well, everyone, that was, again, Lisa Duty. Lisa is fabulous. So check her out on Twitter at Lisa Duty, LISSADUTY. Go to her website at lisaduty.com and check out her blog. She has a link right there on her website to click on her blog and read that. And check out Friday. You want to follow these step-by-steps on how to set up your groups. Okay, now I am going to transition quickly into our special guest we have on the show today. She is logged in right now. I think she's on right now. Carolyn, are you there?
I am here, and I am so sorry I didn't understand the process. So I'm here, and I'm ready to talk, and I must say, Lisa Duty is a genius. She helped me with my social media as well.
Oh, fabulous. I didn't know there was a connection there. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Well, very, very good. She is a genius, and she is. She absolutely is, and she's a delight, too. She's a lot of fun to know. Well, let me tell everyone a little bit about who you are, Carolyn, and what you're going to be sharing with us today. And for those of you who are just tuning in, just to catch you up on what is going on, I am your host, Angie Strader. You are listening to What's Your Bottom Line, and this is on Diva Toolbox Radio Network, hosted on Blog Talk Radio. Now, today we are joined by Carolyn Kelly North, and I wanted to get that right. And Carolyn is a psychotherapist and author who's been practicing since 1992. She has experience in treating individuals, couples, and families struggling with a variety of issues, including relationship conflicts, parenting dilemmas, not that there's ever any dilemmas in parenting, depression, body image, stress, and anxiety. She has worked with families in suburban Washington, D.C. before relocating to South Florida, and is currently in private practice in Boca Raton. And let's see, Carolyn is a writer. She's been published in a lot of different, and I'm not going to go into all of those, Carolyn, for the sake of time, but she is also an author of How to Win Dates and Influence Relationships. Now, doesn't that sound familiar to another book, a popular book out there? I think it has something to do with how to win friends and influence people. Is that right, Carolyn?
That's right. That was written by my first cousin, twice removed, Dale Carnegie. And so my book is based on my experience treating families and single people looking for love and married couples wanting to experience a healthier relationship. And so, but I based some of it on his basic principles, which are really about compassion and kindness and concern for the other instead of just me, me, me all the time.
And
that comes into the domestic violence issue.
Yes, and today we're talking about what your topic that you chose is why they abuse and what you can do about it. So tell us, Carolyn, why do people become abusers?
Typically, it's about control. They typically will be raised in homes where there is domestic violence. They maybe saw their father abuse their mother abused their father. They think this is normal, even if consciously in their head they said, I will never do this to a woman, or I will never be like my mother. Somehow it just becomes part of who they are, and they need to control to feel comfortable. And then it gets a little bit farther along with each step, and typically they have difficulty expressing anger in a healthy way. And as we all know, anger is a normal emotion. But if you don't know how to express it in a way to maintain your cool, to not suppress it, because if you push it down, it comes out in many different ways. I'm sure you're familiar with seeing people who are passive-aggressive. Or have they have health problems because they just grin and bear it. These are some of the things that can happen when you just push it down, or they become depressed, or they can become explosively angry, where they build it up and then explode into rage. And so the goal of anger management is to learn how to control your anger through what you tell yourself, your self-talk, as well as how you get your anger resolved and out. So with an abuser, why do they abuse? There are many reasons. They have low frustration tolerance. They were raised in a family where it's viewed as normal. I've even heard people say, come on, when you really get down to it, all men hit their wife. It's just, and they really believe that. That's how they justify it to themselves. And that's all they've seen in their life.
I know.
And it's sad, and they're as much of victims as anyone, and yet they need to get in treatment. If they know that they're hurting someone, it's their responsibility for getting and staying in treatment.
Wow, you know, and you're right, they are just as much the victim in the grand scheme of things. And but you know, like you said, they need to get into treatment. So does the one that's being abused. Because, right, they're allowing this to happen in some fashion, some way or form or fashion, right?
Absolutely. And some men and women will say, I just black out and I don't know what happened and I just don't have any control over my anger. That is a very rare condition. Typically, that's their excuse. They're saying that just to sort of deflect attention on themselves.
I couldn't help myself. I'm not responsible because I blacked out, and a line of other reasons. And just for those that are listening, you may have tuned in a couple of weeks ago. I did another show on anger management, and we were talking about the child within and how we revert back to some of our childhood tendencies or those memories we have. And wanted to explain a little bit, okay, why is Angie really focusing on this anger management issue? And the reason I've started talking and brought the, have Carolyn and some other guests that I have coming up, because we hear a lot of the stuff that's going on in the media today. If you tune in, you're going to hear, and I'm just going to throw some, you know, names out there like Mel Gibson, who was obviously everything blasted all over the media about some of his anger things and things that were going on. Of course, we're hearing one side of everything. But it got me to thinking that you hear more and more about people and their anger issues. And in talking with you, you brought up a point with to me about how we're raising selfish people. Do you remember us talking about that?
I do. And one thing that we made a mistake with, I believe, in trying to push self-esteem is that we have perhaps gotten too wrapped up with, I deserve this, and my little angel would never do anything wrong. And we're teaching our children that you know, you do not have to pay the consequences for your actions. In the olden days, if your teacher was upset with you, you would fear them calling your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, kids say, you know what, my parents will sue you if you look at me the wrong way, or the parents will come in furious that little Jimmy was accused of something he didn't do. Well, you know, how are parents and teachers going to teach accountability if we don't have that these consequences in place for our children, because we're teaching them accountability and self-control?
So instead of really teaching the things that we think we, and I say we is a very global, you know, statement, but we, instead of what we think that we are teaching is self-esteem, we might be teaching instead selfishness.
That's right. That's right. I think we need to really start to remember looking at things through other people's eyes, walk in their shoes, and, you know, as you said, in the media, I think that's also a factor in this increased selfishness. You see the Jersey Shore, you see a lot of our Hollywood celebrities acting in ways that are very selfish and damaging to others, but they're glamorized. And why are they glamorized? I don't know. Because they have money and, you know, but whatever, our children are growing up watching this, and the parents are reading the Us magazines, and it's creating a culture of, you know, you're not valued for what you do, but how you look and what you own. And I do think that there's a backlash against that, though. I think people are getting sick of seeing reality TV where people are behaving in ways that are just unhealthy and selfish and crude and rude.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I think I agree with that. And, you know, I look at I am admitted that I do admittedly like some of the reality TV shows out there. And the reason I'm drawn to them is mostly a study of people. And I talk with my daughter, who's 23 years old, and we talked about this before. My daughter, she's very into the entertainment industry and what's going on. But it gives us an opportunity to talk about these behaviors and how maybe things could have been handled differently, or just the craziness and absurdity of it all. And what our culture has turned to, like you said, you can't go stand in a Walmart checkout line without seeing the headlines everywhere, and you're just drawn to it like it's in your hand before you realize it, and you're absorbing all this stuff. So it is also a we as adults have to have a little bit more self-control as well.
Exactly. And, you know, I think the era of the drama queen and the bridezillas, I just think it's gone too far. And who doesn't like a little excitement in their life? We all do. But when it's to the point where you're surrounding yourself with people who are drama queens and then you're behaving in very dramatic fashion, it creates a lot of chaos in people's lives. And I think it can distract them from the real problems they might be struggling with. But it can be entertaining. I really understand that. And I can be guilty of sometimes picking up Us magazine and seeing the latest with Angelina and Brad. But, you know, I understand the draw, but by the same token, people who are abusive or are drawn to very unhealthy lifestyles. I think we cannot glamorize them. I just saw an article yesterday or today that said 70% of people would still buy a ticket to a Mel Gibson movie, even though he's, and I'm not going to make a comment whether I think that's right or wrong, but people, they don't really care. They don't really, they are sort of immune to it because we see it so much in our culture.
Yeah, that is a problem. I see that as a problem. The immunity, the piece of just being numb to it. It doesn't matter anymore. It just, you know, they will support, no matter what anyone does, I'll support it because what do I care? It doesn't affect me. I think that's what I hear a lot of. It doesn't affect me, so I don't care. And that apathy is becoming a bigger and bigger issue in our country. But you said that you feel like there's hope, that that's turning around?
I do, because when you really get down to it, how many people do you personally know that are negative? Not too many. Most of us do not know that many. It's the ones who we read about and we see on TV that are creating these big stories. Those are the ones that are troublemakers, and they're in the small percentage. And while we might be interested in hearing the stories, I think I'm seeing people say, yeah, enough of that. What about the good news? What about the people who aren't in jail and not, you know, getting arrested every other day? Why don't we hear about them? What about the good marriages? What about Jay Leno and his however many odd years being married? We need to, maybe pick up the newspaper when we see that kind of headline, and I think we vote with our pocketbook.
Our purchasing power, yeah. That's so true. And most of my listeners, most everyone knows that I do what I call a media diet, and that I limit the amount of news that I watch, and I get just what I need to stay relatively intelligent and in tune of what's going on in the world today, and then that's it. And I equate the way I, the analogy is that I love cheesecake. But I know I shouldn't eat the whole cheesecake because it's not good for me and it's going to make me sick. So I have a sliver or a slice of cheesecake, and that's what I do with the media. Because if you inundate yourself with that all the time, it just gets that negative, that sick feeling that you get like eating a full cheesecake. But let's get back to the abusive situations here, because I'm really curious about that. Is if you know someone who you believe is in an abusive situation or you know is in an abusive situation, what can you do to help that person if you really know that they're being abused?
Well, one thing not to do is to judge them. It's so easy to say, well, she must like it because she's staying, and you know she's left him 15 times, but she keeps going back. So, you know, she's just as sick as he is. Well, that's blaming the victim. I don't think people realize what happens inside the homes where there's domestic violence. Frequently there's financial stress where they don't have access to bank accounts. I've known many people who will not get gas in their car because if they have gas in their car or access to the checkbook and the checking account or a credit card, then they'll gallivant around and, you know, so they, where are they going to go? And there are places for them to go, but they don't maybe know that. They might be on, they might not have access to the internet. You never know. And so, or they might be so beaten down that they just see no options. I've also heard of men and women who say, if you leave me, you will never see your children again. That is pretty overwhelming. So with these financial and emotional and, of course, physical fear in place, it's hard for this person to admit there's a problem because they're ashamed. And more judgment just pushes them towards the abuser. So instead, what would be the best idea is to say, is everything okay? Yeah, you looked a little sad lately, or you haven't been reaching out to me. The first thing an abuser will do is separate the victim from their support system. And I have personal experience with people who were separated from my friendship or, you know, relative who stopped being in contact. If they stop being in contact with you, don't assume it's because they've moved on or they've gotten busy in their own life. Check in with them. They might think that no one in the world cares about them except for their abuser. Express concern too. I'm worried about you. That can just open up the floodgates.
I have a question that kind of spins off from that. Now, I think that we see the typical, what we might assume is the typical abuse. Let's use a woman in this case. And I know there are many men out there in abusive situations, domestic abuse situations as well. But I think that the stereotypical of you picturing of a abused woman, wife or girlfriend, is meek, mild, introverted, low self-esteem. Could it also be that that person could appear to be strong and confident and really have it going on the outside?
Frequently, that's how it appears. There are many different personality types you would see, but some enter the relationship strong and become meek. Some were meek to begin with. Others continue to have the facade of, I've got it all going on, and, you know, I am in control, and, you know, people think, wow, she has a great marriage and a great husband, and boy, aren't they just the perfect couple. But you don't know what goes on inside the home. And so when, you know, so.
And I bring that up because when you were saying if you see someone, you haven't seen someone in a while, and you think, oh, I'm going to reach out to them and say I haven't seen you and show compassion and is everything okay, that it would be something I could really see us reaching out to someone who may seem a little bit more on that passive side, more on that the meek side. But if that person looks or she looks like she's really got it going on and she's a strong personality, you may not think that that may be the case. So I'll bring that up just to bring up that point. Don't think just because someone's strong, and I say this because I know of this situation. I have personal experience with a friend in this situation. And I wanted to just bring that up. So I wanted to get your two cents on that. So, and don't
I would
judge.
Just like to chime in on that because I also know of a situation like that where I, as a therapist, should have picked up on signs, and I didn't. But I kept, and I just knew that she was too busy for me, and I hoped I hadn't offended her. But what I knew she was a good friend, and so I continued to reach out and just say, I'm here when you want me. I'm here when you want me. And it looked like she was on top of the world. And only later did I realize what was going on.
That's a great lesson for all of us. Thank you for sharing that, too, as with your professional background and experience, that you could miss that as well. Okay. So what is the current – I know there's a lot of trends, in, especially in therapy and psychotherapy and you know, that whole thing. What would you say, what is treatment for abusers? Can an abuser really be effectively treated?
Well, it's hard. And what they need to have happen is they need the floor pulled from under them. So I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, oh, but he's very complicated and he's really deep down, he's very wounded. And I'm going to love him despite his flaws and help get him back to happiness. And that, it just isn't going to happen because deep down inside, he is nice. We, you know, everyone is born into this world a good person, and deep down he is wounded. But the reality is you're enabling him if you stay with him. And only when you leave him will he be desperate enough to perhaps get and stay in treatment. Not, you know, oh, I've been to two therapy sessions and I got a handle on it. More that, you know, I would say at least a year. You need to see a year of good behavior before you will know whether they're in the honeymoon phase, where they're, you know, just showing you that they're contrite so you'll return versus genuinely getting and staying in treatment. So, but the treatment is where the best treatment is abusive men or women in a group together where they can call each other on their behavior, and there's an educational component as well.
Mm. Now, you brought up something, that honeymoon phase. Mm. Now, having done some work in the past, and I was in law enforcement and did a lot of work, was one of the only female police officers on the force. Every time there was a domestic abuse case, I was called. So I had a lot of experience in that area. So I did extra training to understand the whole thing. And I remember learning and helping women understand the cycle of violence. Can you explain that real quick so our listeners can understand what that means, like the honeymoon phase, what that really means?
Sure. Typically what happens is, let's start, because it's a circle, let's start with the situation where abuse occurs. They lash out, they're aggressive, belittling, or violent, and then after the dust settles, they feel guilty. But they can't just say, typically they will somehow blame it on the woman or the, you know, whoever the victim is and say, well, if you hadn't, then I wouldn't have gotten mad. And, of course, that isn't, in fact, the case. They could have breathed the wrong way, and the abuse would have happened, and the excuses happen. But during that time, then they resume the normal behavior of, you know, of the honeymoon phase, where they bring flowers and they, you know, sing songs, and it's really intensively romantic, but it's a false romance because they are doing things that they have read and seen in movies that is very romantic and what they imagine the woman would want, because they know this woman pretty well. And so you can't trust that honeymoon phase. And then what happens after that is the tension starts to build up again in the person, and the woman starts walking on eggshells again, and then there's an outburst of violence again.
Mm-hmm.
And frequently there's a setup. When the tension starts to develop, the abuser sets up the woman, the victim, to have an excuse to hit her or whatever abuse happens. And the setup will typically be something like, oh, I'll call you tonight and we'll go out to dinner, or, you know, whatever. They'll make a statement and they won't give the woman or the victim any parameters around that. And so they will say, you know, I called you at 11 o'clock at night. We had planned to have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't answer the phone or you were tired. So clearly you were out, you know, catting around and having sex with somebody else. You're, you know, a horrible person, and then that's our excuse. So watch out for the setup. Don't believe it, and don't fault yourself for anything.
Watch out for the setup. That's a good one. And also what I've seen, too, as the victim, they will instigate or they will accelerate the episode or the abusive episode to get it out of the way so they can get back to that honeymoon phase quicker.
Yes, and if they can have maybe a shorter cycle, then maybe it's less abusive. Like maybe not as intensively violent, if they can sort of, and it gives them a sense of control. I know one person said to me, it is so good 80% of the time that I'm willing to take the 20% that's bad. And it's sad.
It is sad. It's very sad. And we're not talking just physical. Hitting, you know, physical abuse, but there's other kinds of abuses as well. And those would be?
Emotional abuse, and that would be controlling finances, withholding money, or belittling, humiliating. You know, we talk about self-deprecating humor. You know, people generally find it kind of funny when people can make fun of themselves a little bit. But with an abuser, they'll use just deprecating humor towards their spouse. Like, they'll be the butt of the joke. And Some people find it amusing, and I don't find those people I want to hang out with. Some people are very uncomfortable and will avoid those people, and it will isolate them further. But they'll also isolate them from their friends and family. They will be very dominant in the relationship. They'll tell you what to wear, how to wear it, how to wear your hair, and they also threaten you. And the threats, all of that is a matter of just controlling you. And frequently it will lead to physical violence over time.
Okay, so we're closing in. We have about 5 minutes left, and I do want to get to your bottom line. And if you can give me, though, one last question, and I want you to help us understand.
Mm-hmm.
Why do the victims stay?
The victims stay because, for the most part, they were raised in a family where their mother was victimized, and they may not know any differently, or they're in so deep they just feel beaten down. So when someone is beaten down, they don't see that they have any options, and I'm here to say there are options. And one last thing I'd like to say is, if you know someone who is coming to you and talking to you about abuse, and they are not ready to leave, write down every incident for them, and the time and the day and the marks. Take a picture, because all of this could protect them later if it ever goes to court, and encourage them to have an emergency plan where they have a suitcase packed in the trunk of their car with all the necessary things, keys, bank accounts, whatever it is, so should it get really bad, they can go in a moment's notice or get out while he's at work without having to tear the house upside down to get all of their belongings.
That's smart. Smart, smart, smart. That is great advice. Okay, Carolyn, tell us a little bit about where our listeners can find out more information about what you have going on.
Okay, well, the best way to find out more about me is by going to my website, www.savvyshrink.com, and that's SavvySHrink.com, or CarolynKelly.com. That would be one for my book and one for my professional website and I do phone consultations, and Carolyn Kelly is spelled with an E-Y.
Okay, and that, now your book is coming out, right? Is it out yet, or is it about to be released?
It's not out yet, but I will let you know when it is.
Yay.
And maybe we can talk again.
I will absolutely love it. Okay, and then you are on Twitter, and it is Savvy Shrink. So at Savvy Shrink. I'm sorry, I'm losing my ability to speak at the end of the show today. Well, thank you, Carolyn, so much for your very valuable, valuable information. And I want to know, when it comes down to it, what is your bottom line when it comes to your level of success, or your bottom line that you want to share with our listeners today?
It goes back to my basic view of kindness. It costs nothing for us to be compassionate and try to see situations through your enemy's eyes, but protect yourself first and foremost.
Try and see the situation through your enemy's eyes. Very, very smart. It's about perception. We can put everything out there that we want, but we're not sure it's how it's perceived. And then check ourselves. And if you know anyone out there who may need help or is in an abusive situation, please don't just ditch them.
That's right.
So they need support. Well, Carolyn, thank you so much, and thank you for joining us. I'm sorry for the confusion at the beginning of the show, but I'm glad that you were able to make it. No problem. Hey, you know what? We got you on the air, and I think the information is so valuable. Well, thank you so much, and thank you to everyone who tuned in. I will see you in 2 weeks. I guess I won't see you We'll talk in 2 weeks. And check out AngieStrader.com on my radio show tab. You'll find out my listing of upcoming guests. I think I have everybody scheduled through September, maybe into October, so you can see my upcoming shows. Sign up for my media newsletter. Click on the free newsletter link and sign us up. I won't spam you. This is Angie Strader, and think about what is your bottom line. I'll talk with you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to What's Your Bottom Line with Angie Strader. If you would like Angie to answer one of your questions on the show, or if you'd like to discuss your question live with Angie, visit AngieStrader.com and click on the Ask Angie tab. See you again next week here at What's Your Bottom Line.